Welcome back to Let's Talk About Death and Dying. Today we're going to talk about what can I do to make sure my family is okay after my loved one has died. Before we get into that, there are just some things I want to mention that we have to consider or start to think about. One thing that we have to consider is our loved one is aging. So, and this is what we can consider about ourselves as well. So, whether it's your parent or your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents, we're always going to hold in our minds an idea of them. They are always going to be our superhero. Mom can do everything. Dad swoops in and saves the day. But we also have to take the blinders off and see that they are aging, meaning that they don't get around like they used to. Maybe they don't see as well or hear as well, or maybe their memory is not as sharp. So we have to start considering those different changes. I think a great time to really start talking with our loved ones about these changes is maybe around 50 years old or a retirement from a job. Now, I know what you might be thinking. For those of us that are a little closer to 50, you feel a certain kind of way in your mind and your body. You might be saying, I feel young. I feel vibrant. That's not old. That's not an aging type of age. But I say 50 because you are vibrant. You are on top of the world. Maybe you're preparing for retirement. Maybe you can retire early because maybe you work in a system where you started really early and now you're at that number where you have to retire out. Your mind is still sharp. You still have the activities of your limbs. You still are able to drive and get around and travel. So that, to me, is the best time to start having these conversations and to start getting an idea of what things look like or what people's ideas are. Another thing for us to think about is to consider our family dynamics or our family behaviors. So every family is unique and different, and we all have family members who they live their lives differently than how we live our lives. And we have to consider those behaviors and those dynamics when our loved one is removed or they are no longer in the earth. So if you have a mother-child combination where the children are very dependent upon mom. Mom has always done everything. Mom makes all the decision. Mom has all the money. And then you take mom out of that equation. What's going to happen to those children? How are they going to survive? How are they going to do things for themselves? Is there a family member in place that is going to take care of those children, let's say, if they have special needs? Because that's something that we have to consider, because they're going to be aging just as the parent is aging. And we can't assume that our family is going to step in and just take care of those special needs children. We need to be very strategic in putting someone in charge and really sitting down with that person and expressing your heart on what you would like to see for your aging adult special needs children. Or maybe there's a special needs family member, maybe an uncle, maybe an aunt, maybe a cousin, and maybe mom took care of them and then mom is no longer in the earth. So what happens to that aunt? What happens to that cousin? Who takes over? So we have to start considering those things as well. Another thing to consider as we are making sure our family members are okay after our loved one has died, is reconnecting with family members who we don't connect with, or maybe we don't talk to, or maybe we only see them once a year during the holiday, or maybe they've moved to another state and you just don't communicate as much. As we're aging and as our parents are aging or loved ones are sick, we have to keep those lines of communication open. Let them know what's going on. Encourage them to call. Encourage them to come home and visit a little bit more. Encourage some interaction, getting to know them. Life happens. Life gets in the way. You trying to take care of yourself, have some self-care, eat some chocolate cake, and things happen. So we want to make sure that we're reconnecting with family. It's nothing like having to go to a funeral and not knowing the people there or not having a relationship with those in your family. So that family reunion that comes up, you know, go to one maybe. That cousin you haven't spoken to in a while, try to just send them a text message. You know, sometimes that phone call is just hard. Sometimes you can't take more than 10 minutes on the phone. Take small steps. Start somewhere. Inbox them on Facebook or shoot them a text message, or, you know, start the reconnection process. Also, another thing to consider, and this one is huge, and this is something we don't like to talk about, is the money. If you have a loved one who is aging, they're older, you want to just start talking to them about legal things, not money in regards to, well, how much money you getting, how many checks you got coming in, when you get paid. You can get to that portion a little bit later, but you have to build up that relationship. You know, with our older adults, the older that they get, the tighter they get on their information, especially their money. Because being an active, independent adult and then going to a person who needs to be dependent upon everyone, and you can't do things for yourself anymore, you can't drive, maybe you can't cook, that has got to be hard. Because I'm not older adult status yet, and I pray that I get there. But I know how independent I am, and I know that it makes me feel good to be able to do things for myself, take care of myself, be responsible for myself. And to go from that to being dependent, needing help, not being able to move, that's a hard thing for some to process. And there are a large range of emotions that I imagine come along with that. So you have the insight on your loved one. You have the knowledge on how to interact with them. So take some time to just try to start having those conversations. If they're the type of person who's very closed, who they don't share information, they don't want you in their business, well, when they die, you're going to be all up in their business. Somebody got to be all up in their business. Somebody got to take care of the information, and somebody got to take care of the funeral and the, or the cremation or the giving the body to science or whatever your loved one requires. Somebody has to take care of it. And it's better to have the information instead of having to piece it together and go to the court and dig in some files. Or let's get better at being prepared. And the first step is to have the conversation. And if you can't have the conversation, you can play this wonderful podcast and have a discussion about it. And maybe that will generate the conversation. But it's something that we can't avoid. It's something that we all have to do, whether we're on the side of taking care of the business or we're on the side of someone taking care of it for us because we've died. So what are some things that we can make sure our family is okay after someone has died? I think the number one important thing is to talk and communicate. Now, some of us have the gift of being a little more aggressive, maybe going over to the house, being a little bit more pushy, and making sure that you're communicating with someone. Now, if you like me, you don't have that gift. I don't have that gift. So I might send a text message. I might try to talk when I see the person. I'll be real honest. That's something that's very hard for me to do, because we all have our own ideas surrounding death until we've experienced the death. And then we have all these ideas of what we want someone to do for us. But then you have to take a step back and say, well, did I do that for somebody else? You don't want to be isolated. You don't want to be on the island by yourself and you feel like no one is checking on you or nobody's saying about you. And you're inside of this grief and nobody knows. So please check on your family. Especially that person who you think has it all together. Especially that person you think is so strong. Especially that person you think nothing bothers them. They need the most. They need the most. They need the calls. They need the pushiness. They need somebody to check on them. Now, if they tell you, I'm fine, leave me alone, you're doing too much, respect that. But you want to just call and check on them. One thing that my family has incorporated since my aunt died is that we meet once a month together. We come up with different things. Maybe we might have a theme or a barbecue, or we just get together every month. And I look so forward to it. I get so excited. It's kind of funny. Because, you know, you would think I would be getting together with some people I never got together with, and you know, but every month we have a family group text as well. So we're talking to each other every day, every other day through the text. We're planning our family gathering for the month. We might share some pictures. We might share a prayer or some encouraging words. And I really enjoy that as well. It lets me know that we're all okay and that we're doing okay and we are all getting through the loss of my aunt together. So us talking through the text and us meeting together, and we're surrounded by each other and food as well. You know, we do a lot of gathering and we do a lot of bonding through food, I think, as a culture. And that also ensures me that we're all getting a good meal, because you know, when you're going through grief, for some people, you're not hungry. You might want to sleep. Maybe you might overeat, but most of the time you're not even eating. You're just going, and your adrenaline is just going, and you're just going. And you know, after the funeral or the memorial, all of that adrenaline drops. And then grief might set in. Because maybe for some, it takes some time. You might not grieve right away. It might just hit you. It could be years later. It could be immediate. Grief does not have a time frame, and it doesn't look the same in all people. So with us getting together and with us talking, that's our way of checking in with each other. That's our way of making sure we're okay. That's our way of staying together. My family's very small. It's not a whole lot of us. And we just get together, we have a good time, we love on each other, and we check in with one another, and we try to move forward and move towards just being positive and being joyful. Because it takes something to be joyful in the season of grieving and losing a loved one. Sometimes you don't always feel joyful. Sometimes you don't always feel happy. But then sometimes you might see something and you just might have a great memory. And that's okay, and enjoy that time. Sometimes you might be sad, and that's okay too. The other thing I want to mention, and it's a little sensitive, is when we have loved ones who they maybe were very close or very dependent on the person who died. Let's not make them feel worse than how they already feel. We all are going through, and you might have a thought or an opinion about what you think that person should be doing, how you think they should be behaving, and it might be very true. It might be a very true statement, and it might be a very true observation. But let's be mindful of the sensitivity that's going on right now. Being fragile in the loss of someone, you know, everybody is not strong. Everybody doesn't have a healthy outlook on death. Everyone does not bounce back. So let's be mindful of the things that we say to one another, the tones that we use towards one another, the assumptions. Because when someone dies, there are a lot of assumptions that circulate around the family. Oh, well, I know mama was taking care of her and she did not, so she ain't gonna get this and that from mama no more. Oh, I know daddy used to do everything for her and she just don't know how to do nothing because daddy dead and she ain't gonna be able to do nothing. Let's keep those thoughts in our head. And I'm not saying they may not be true, because they might be very true. But everybody is sensitive. Everybody is fragile. Everybody has their own way of dealing. And the best thing that we can do is to love on one another. Keep up with one another. Make sure we're eating. Make sure we're drinking. Make sure we're getting out the house. Making sure that the business at hand is being taken care of properly. Sometimes we gotta ask those hard questions that you feel like, oh, I don't wanna pry. I don't want them to think I'm being nosy. When someone dies, it's time to be all up in that business. All up in what happened. All up in, where is the policy? Where's the insurance? Where's the 401k? How are we gonna do this? Who's gonna do the obituary? Who's gonna be on the program? You gotta be all up in it. And even after that portion is over, there is still gonna be something that you have to be all up in the business about. And we have to get comfortable with asking those hard questions, especially about the money and the bank accounts and the property and the illegitimate child no one knew about. The extra girlfriend on the side that daddy might have had, who maybe she got some additional information. And so on and so forth. I appreciate all of you who listen to this podcast. This is my way of healing and working through my grief, because I want to make sure that we do better and that we're not caught off guard and by surprise, and that we're not grieving to the point where it turns into complicated grief, and we're not stuck in the past and afraid of the future. That's why I do this podcast. And I thank you all, and I appreciate everyone who listens. Until next time.